Good evening and welcome to Monsters Among Us Jr. I'm your guide, Derek Hayes. I will be joined by the MAU Meemaw, Delaney Bowers, here shortly. It's great to have you all back with us here this evening. Perhaps you're on your way home from school, or practice, or maybe you're at a sleepover, and you're huddled around the family Bluetooth speaker. Well, regardless of how you got here, you made the right choice in tuning in, because Delaney and I have quite a program lined up for you tonight. And if you don't believe me, allow Dashiell from Oregon to prove my point.
Hi, my name is Dashiell. I'm 12 years old. I'm from Eugene, Oregon. This is my dad's story. I don't know a lot of details, but it's still a story. There's no monsters or anything. It's just very creepy. My dad had a friend, which is a firefighter, and there's a mountain, and this area is very, like, gated off. It's barbed wired and everything, and only the firemen have the keys to go extinguish the fire. So one night they went camping, and it took them 3 hours to go up in the Jeep, and then there was too much snow, so they had to walk for another 3 hours, and they set up camp there. And they were sleeping for the entire night. And when they woke up in the morning, they saw this rock hanging from a tree. They had this bad feeling, and they went up to the rock. This rock is like the size of your palm or something. There was nothing on the front, and when they turned it around, carved into the rock, it said, "Leave." And this thing didn't leave any footprints, no anything. I got really spooked out. So yeah. I'll call back another time with more spooky stories. Okay, bye.
Thanks, Dashiell. I'll tell you what, Dashiell. When the Blair Witch Project was released back in 1999, it drove people crazy. This was sort of pre-internet, and it was much harder back then to verify stories. So most people, like myself, thought those kids were really missing. They were really abducted by a grotesque and terrifying witch. Anyway, the point here is that after watching that movie, all kinds of people made little stick figurines and hung them all over the woods, just like they did in the movie. So I wonder if this wasn't that sort of thing that Dashiell's dad experienced. A copycat of some sort, or somebody simply playing a prank. Otherwise, it sounds like a warning that should probably be followed. You never know who wrote the message, or what that person might be capable of. Thank you again, Dashiell, for sharing that entry.
The following pre-recorded program is sponsored by
Critical Thinking, because I believe that.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you, Delaney Bowers.
Thanks, Derek. I'll go ahead and take it from here. As the days grow shorter and them nights get longer, y'all be sure to keep your eyes on the skies like our next caller, Owen, from the Sunflower State.
Hi, I'm Owen, and I'm calling you from Manhattan, Kansas. When this happened, the weather was sunny, and it happened around, like, dusk. It was still sunny outside, but you can see stars. So, like, there's this pink star, like, pink or red star. It was just slowly, like, gliding across the sky. My dad was the first person to spot it, and then me, and then my sister. It wasn't going extremely fast like a shooting star, and it wasn't blinking, so it couldn't have been an airplane. And then it just disappeared, and it was sliding to the right of where I was. And where I was at this time, I was, like, right in my driveway, like, the first part of the walkway to my house. So, yeah, it couldn't have been a black hole because it would have been way too close. So, the only answer that made sense that I could think of would be that it's a UFO. I like your show. Yeah.
A big ol' thank you to you, Owen, for sharing your UFO encounter with us. See, that's the one thing I love about UFOs. That unidentified label gives us a little wiggle room to speculate about what this flying object may have been. Some research conducted by yours truly revealed that Manhattan, Kansas is the home of Ultra Precision Control Systems, a company known for creating products that are used in military aircrafts and unmanned aviation vehicles. So, could Ultra be using the skies above Manhattan to test out top-secret, high-tech systems? Could that be what Owen and his family witnessed that evening? Your guess is as good as mine on this one, but thank you, Owen, for sharing your space-age sighting with us. And now I'll toss it back over to Derek, who definitely isn't concocting a strange potion in his kitchen.
That's just soup. Yeah, soup. Well, thank you, Delaney and Owen, for that terrifying entry. Now, kids, if you have a story you would like to share on the show, call our brand new hotline at 833-MAU-KIDS. That's 833-MAU-KIDS. Or email us a story at monstersamongusjr@gmail.com. And that's Junior, spelled J-R. A reminder to call from a quiet place, tell true tales, keep it brief, under 2 minutes at least, and get your parents' permission before calling in. We can't wait to share the stories that you tell. Now, everyone, this next entry comes to us all the way from Hawaii. Henry, welcome to the show.
Hi, Derek. This is Henry from Hawaii, Maui. Basically, I was at this store that we have called Rodeo Store, and I was sitting in the car with my mom while my dad was getting stuff, and I saw this old couple walk in, and about 5 minutes later, I see them do it again. It was really weird. Again, I did not see them walk out of the store or anything. I see the exact same couple walking in the exact same way they were. A wife closest to the car and the husband next to the wife. They did it twice in a row, like 5 minutes later, they did it again. I did not see them walk out of the store or anything like that. So I just wanted to call in to see if you have anything about it, because I've never witnessed it before. It was like one of the creepiest things I've ever witnessed. Love the show, and I listen to it like literally every single day. I love it. Bye.
You know, this sounds like a doppelganger story to me. It's a German phrase that basically means double walker and describes two people that look identical, even though they're not related in any way. It's a subject we tackle all the time over on the main program. And I've linked to more information in the show notes if you'd like to read up on the doppelganger phenomena. But good luck, because it's a rabbit hole with absolutely no bottom. So tread lightly. And thank you again, Henry, for calling in. Now, let's kick it back to Delaney for more scary stories.
Appreciate you sharing the mic, Derek Hayes. Well, congratulations. You've been brave enough to make it to the final call of the evening, and boy, howdy, is it a good one. Y'all go ahead and join me in welcoming Vivian from Illinois, whose story may be proof that objects in the mirror are closer than they appear.
Hello, my name is Vivian, and I'm from Illinois, and today is actually my 10th birthday. So today I'm going to be sharing two experiences that my dad had while growing up in a very old house that used to be a school. So the first experience that he had was when he was about 8 years old, which was 1983, and he was laying in bed. He didn't say what the weather was, but he said it was night, and he had a bed that was next to a glass case where you would keep like trophies and stuff. So he woke up facing the case and he saw a boy leaning over him. He didn't actually see him, he saw him in the reflection. And it was behind him looking down at him. And he said that it had blonde hair and blue eyes, and it had a brown wool suit with a newspaper boy hat, and he said that the boy looked up into the case and made eye contact with him through the reflection. And that is the first experience. And the second experience that he had is when he was about 9 to 10, which was 1984-1985. And it was the same boy with the same clothes on. And after the first experience, he went into another room because there was a hallway with two rooms connecting. And there was a closet with a door, and on the inside of the door, there was a mirror. And there was a bathroom on one side, and there were stairs on the other side. So my dad once again woke up, and the closet door was open. And he looked over to the side, and he saw the same boy walking across the stairs through a wall that was right next to the bathroom door, but it was closed. But he only saw it in the reflection. So there was the stairs and my dad's room, and then there was the stairs and then the bathroom and then the closet. And he only saw the boy in the reflection. He didn't see it actually in there. He only saw it in the mirror. And then the boy walked through the wall right next to the bathroom door, just walked through the wall, didn't walk through the bathroom door, didn't open it, just walked through the wall. Thank you for letting me share my dad's stories, and I love the podcast, and I hope that I get featured. Bye.
Well, happy birthday, and thanks for calling in. Vivian, this story has it all, but I absolutely love the description you gave about what the boy was wearing. A brown wool suit and a newspaper boy hat? I mean, this sounds like an outfit from the 1930s or 1940s, if not earlier than that. And if that's the case, your dad's sighting could be something known as a residual haunting. I'll let paranormal investigator Grant Wilson fill you in on the details.
A residual haunting is essentially any haunting that repeats itself over and over and over and over again. The event itself doesn't have to be tragic or even sad. Sometimes the sheer repetition of an event can cause an impression. A residual haunting is easy to identify because the activity, be it frequent or not, will be repetitive. It'll just do the same thing every time, no matter who's there or what's in the way. In fact, the whole concept of a ghost walking through walls stems from the fact that a ghost is walking through a doorway that has since been covered up. The entity will continue to follow that path even though there is no longer a door there. Even the concept of a ghost floating is due to residual hauntings. It's a ghost walking up a flight of stairs that is no longer there.
So a residual haunting is just like a movie that's playing over and over again on a loop. Perhaps there was another house that existed on the same land as your dad's that was torn down before his childhood home was built. And maybe this young boy lived and worked and played in this house that had a different floor plan, which could explain why he was walking through walls rather than going through doors. It's known too, Vivian, that mirrors and the paranormal go hand in hand. Folklore tells us that mirrors can act as doorways into the ghostly realm. Maybe this explains why your dad could only see the young boy reflected in his bedroom mirror. If anything, I would encourage you and your dad to do some research about the history of the house. Who knows what information y'all might be able to dig up. A big thanks to you, Vivian, and be sure to thank your dad for us as well. And that's a wrap on tonight's show, my fiends. I mean friends. It's been a real treat getting to share some hair-raising tales with you, and the good news is, Derek Hayes and I will be back again next week with another casket full of calls. Until then, happy hauntings, hooligans. Monsters Among Us Jr. is written and produced by Derek Hayes and Delaney Bowers. Copyright, Red Crow Media. Additional support provided by Sarah Carter Hayes. All media used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Tonight's score was provided by Iron Cthulhu Apocalypse, Co.AG Music, and Carl Casey at Whitebat Audio. And lastly, The MAU Junior theme was written and produced by Ali Mamarian. Thanks for tuning in. Happy hauntings, hooligans.